Blog Talk Radio. have any echoing. And we're going to just pray and ask God to cover and bind up the enemy and his tricks as far as Wi-Fi, as well as far as landline, telephone service, and cell service. We're going to ask God to just step in and let his will be done. Okay, well, Blog Talk is on air, as well as we are on Facebook Live. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to go into prayer, because I want to get into this word. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity to give date of October 1st, 2015. God, I thank you for this month, because this is not just the month we celebrate and we fight for breast cancer survivors and for a cure for breast cancer, but God, it's my birthday month. God, I thank you that even a couple of weeks ago, the enemy tried to wipe me out again, but God, you said no. I thank you for everything that you're doing for my family, for my friends, for my coworkers, for my job, for my health and my strength. God, I thank you for everything you're doing in America and over the seas and throughout the world. God, I'm just in your mercy to get in your presence and to receive your grace, God. We know we are saved by grace, but God, we need your grace, your mercy, and your love and protection, oh God. God, we just ask you to open our ears and let us hear. Open our hearts, God, that we may receive and release the love you have given us. You're teaching us to provide and give to people. God, open our eyes. Open our eyes that we can see the hurt, the devastation that people are. We want to love one another again. God, take away the hatred. Take away the heart of stone, oh God. God, give us a heart that loves like you love, God. Give us a heart that sees people the way you see people, God. Father, we just ask you right now to go into every household that sees this video live and that sees this video in the archives, that sees this video even on replay, God. We just ask you for your forgiveness. We repent right now of every sin, God. We ask you to come into our lives and be our Lord and Savior. God, we ask you to teach us, called on us to be. We know that many are so called, but only a few are chosen, God. And I thank you for choosing me to be the one. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. On this week past, more than since the last time I had been on Facebook Live Friday night, I have said, God, what would you give me to talk about? So for a little while, I just kept saying, God, what would you give me? What would you give me to talk about? And basically, God just started telling me to pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. And I was like, pay attention. And God was just talking to me about time. And he had shared some things with me, and I decided to Google 5 things that said what we need to do if we want to get God's attention. 5 places that we need to be in mentally, spiritually, physically. Some things we need to do to make sure we're going about God's business. So before I go into what I want to talk about, I'm going to share these 5 things with you, because I don't want to run out of time with putting God's word out there. So we're going to start off with, let me get my scriptures right. The first thing we're going to start off with is worship. A lot of times we're not in a place where we are worshiping God. Excuse me. We're not in a place where we even think we should be worshiping God, because we think that we should worship God in a special time, in a special place. But we got to be in a place of worship. Everything I'm going to talk about right now is going to be at all day, all time, whether your mouth is moving or it's not. You got to be a worshiper to worship God. We're going to go to Let's start off with John. We're going to go with John 4:23-24. It says, but the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father and to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when you're walking around, and even when somebody's talking to you, not just when you're praying and you're on your personal private time, when someone is talking to you, whether they're asking you for prayer or they're just asking you for advice or they're just pouring out, when they're talking to you, you should be in a place that you're saying, God, what would you have me to say at this time? Because sometimes God would say, don't say nothing. Sometimes God would say, say this. One time God would just say, give them a hug. You know, I see family members, and I've done it myself, and I see other people put on Facebook and say, I need prayer warriors. I need prayer right now. Please, no questions asked, and no, I don't want to talk about it. We don't always need to know the ifs, ands, buts, wants, wishes, and what happened, why. We don't need to know all that. You need to know that when somebody is calling out, telling you what they want or need, let's just say, I need somebody to just say, I love you. Just ask God, get in a place of worship where God can teach you how to be truthful, because you ask God, what should you do, because you've been in a place of worship. But if you're in a place of worship majority of the time, if not all the time, you should already know that sometimes not saying a word, but because you're praying, should be more than enough, because you know what God has already told you to do. Okay? That's one thing I wanted to talk about, which was worship. We must worship God in spirit and truth. Okay? Now, the next thing I want to talk about is, you know, in the world, we figure if we're hanging out with our buddies and stuff like that, yes, Margo, we must worship the spirit of truth. We're hanging with our buddies. We call that fellowship. We going out, we kicking it. We call that fellowshipping. When we was in the world and we was doing everything we wanted to do because we was getting together, us and our homies, us and our girls, us and our family members or whatever, we call ourselves fellowshipping. We even have fellowship in church on certain days, Sundays or whatever. We would call ourselves fellowship. But let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edifying one another, even as also ye do. So when we're getting together and we're fellowshipping, you should still be in a place where when people are doing things that you know is not what God has called you for or God has called you from, make sure your fellowship is where you're teaching them how to change partners. Okay, I'm hoping you getting what I'm. I remember a time when me and my sister and we and some friends, we would go out and we would kick it. Oh, I'm telling you, yes, we called it kicking it then. We was having a good time. We was after the party, you know, we went to the after set and, oh, we were just having a good time. We was fellowshipping, that's what we called it. But when I came over on the Lord's side, I found out what fellowshipping really was. I found out that I didn't have to be up on the floor dancing to the latest songs, and I have to know the last dance and who could do it the best, who can pop it, swing it, throw it, bounce it, drop it. I didn't have to know all that. Because, see, one thing I knew was that I can pop out into a praise at church. Mm-hmm. I can drop down on my knees at church and go into prayer. Uh-huh. And I could sling, you could sling the Bible open and see what the Lord is saying. Or the pastor get up and say something on the altar and that word has been slung over to you because it's something you asked God about or something you're going through. You got to understand fellowshipping, the timing of fellowshipping, okay? Now, another thing we have to get back to doing is discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
See, we kind of lost it when we stopped talking about gangbanging and all that stuff, because when God had called you over to be his disciple, he has a requirement for you to feel, because of the time that you're born in, the time that you're living in, you have to let your life be like a light that sits on a hill that don't hide. Don't hide under a bush. Don't put it under a rock or put it in a bag. You have to be a disciple where you have to go out and tell people about the goodness of the Lord. You got your social media, and for some of those, I know y'all don't do it. But some of those only go to church on Sundays, and that's when they discipleshiping among the brothers and sisters in the church. They want to tell each other how good God has been to them and what God has done for them. But when you outside in the world, you forget to be a disciple. Mm-hmm. You forget to talk about the goodness of God. So let's see what Luke 14:27 say. And whosoever doeth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. See, that goes back to me saying, when we're in the church, yes, because that's what's expected of us to know John 3:16, Exodus 20:12, Matthew 6, you know, the whole chapter where it talks about the prayers that you go on down. We're supposed to know that. We're supposed to know that John 10:10 says something. We're supposed to know that. We're supposed to know what Genesis 1:1. We're supposed to know that. But if we don't, we know we can go to the Bible, because the Bible was right there in the church. Somebody left one. Most of the time we walk around with one. Well, nowadays we just Google it on our phone. So we want to disciple among each other. Yes, Minister Margaret, so we must spend time with God each day. So each day we're spending time with God, you know, it's how to be a disciple, because you can't have a relationship with God and he don't reveal to you things that's going to come. Even if they don't come that day, they're going to come, but you will already be prepared to address what's coming, especially if you're listening. Mm-hmm. In order to be in a place to be a disciple, to tell somebody about the Lord, you have to be listening. You have to be listening to what God is telling you to do. And that's something I think that we kind of find hard, because majority of the time we are not listening. We're hearing something over there. We're hearing something over there. We're hearing something back there. But we're hearing something in our head that somebody said to us before. We're not listening. Now, that's another thing we need to do. Now, we know we need to be a worshiper. We need to get back into the place of worship. We know we need to have fellowship. We need to get back into the place of being, have a fellowship. We know that we need to have a discipleship among the people that are around us. Even the ones that say sometimes get sidetracked. But what about the people that be around you that's not saved? You still must be in a place where you can tell them about the Lord. I ain't say beat them over the head, but you could just tell somebody, you know, I just find at these times that when I find myself like this or feeling like that or thinking like that, I just begin to talk to the Lord. You could just give people an example. Minister Margot says discipleship includes being tough and reaching out to others. That's right. Being taught to reach out to others. That's right. That's what a discipleship is. A lot of times when I'm at work, I'm around a lot of people that's doing different things in life or saying different things in life, and I have to catch myself that I don't go too far. I have to catch myself to say, you know what, if I don't have anything good to say or to get out of this conversation right here, you better know how to leave. Mm-hmm. Because you don't want to be caught up in a whole lot of stuff, off a whole lot of everything else, okay? you got to know the Word of God said we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. So sometimes conversations come up, and you know you don't know nothing about it. Instead of getting caught up in it, and don't open the door, because we know sin lies at the door. Don't open the door for a seed to be planted, even if it don't do nothing now. But you heard me say a seed to be planted, that you start wondering. You start letting things happen, and before you know it, some things are manifest in your life because you forgot you was on discipleship. Yeah, I said the word discipleship. You forgot you were supposed to be a disciple because you let something tickle your inner ear. Mm-hmm. Now, another thing we got to go back to is ministry. What is your ministry? What have God called you out of? Now, we know we didn't talk about worship, fellowship, discipleship. Now, we're going to talk about ministry. What is your ministry? Mm-hmm. What did God call you out of? Let's talk about that. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, until we understand what God and who God has called us to be, we won't even walk in our ministry. Remember earlier I said that a lot of times God would just tell you to be quiet? Prophet Antoine Thomas talks about a lot the shut up ministry. See, you don't want to be ministering to somebody where they always say, she always got something to say. He always got something to say. Where they get to the point people don't want to hear what you got to say. They'll be looking at you and all they hear is blah, 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 blah. Sometimes the best ministry you can do is if you ain't said nothing to God and God ain't gave you nothing to say, shut it up. As one of my sisters, apostle elect friend, Tina, niece said, mind your business. She didn't say, mind your business. She said, mind your business. Stay out of her. Sometimes you got to stay out of people's business to be able to minister to them. Because, and then you got to be, as Minister Margo said, you got to be taught. Sometimes you have to actually say to a person, I didn't have nothing to say at the time because I don't know if you were able to handle what I was going to say. See, sometimes you have to say to a person, stop being so gullible. Yeah, y'all know what I mean by that. Sometimes you have to tell them the truth. How long are you going to be here in this place? I didn't say nothing because I heard that story. Yeah, you was going to leave him alone. Yeah, you was going to leave her alone. Yeah, you was going to do this. Yeah, you was going to do that. But all you did now was gave that same story on another day with a different outfit on. I'm sorry. But you forgot to walk in the ministry God told you. Don't you just be saying something because somebody said, yeah, I know you're right. Uh-uh. Don't let nobody try to use witchcraft on you to turn the story around so you can start saying what they want you to say. They want to hear smooth things. Sometimes, outright raw, how long are you going to be here? You here again? You stuck with another married man, another married woman? You back with that same one that took everything you had and walked out on you? You back there again talking about it's different this time? Is that ministry or is that misery? Sometimes I think as people, we get it mixed up. Learn how to walk in ministry. Because right here, I read where it says, and he gave some apostles, evangelists, some pastors and some teachers. I didn't read down here nowhere where he said he gave some, he said apostles. I didn't read where he said he gave some abusers.
Mm-hmm.
I read where he said he gave some prophets. I didn't read where he said he gave some pimps. No, I didn't read that. He said he gave some evangelists. We're going to sit back on that one for a while. I didn't read what he said in everlasting torment. I didn't read that. He said he gave some pastors. I didn't read what he said. He gave some pushovers. He said he gave some teachers. I didn't read what he said. He gave some torture. Time we are stuck in a place where we think we are ministering when we are not. You know, you remember they used to say them men used to come by and say, "Oh, God told me I was your prayer partner."
Mm.
Or was he? You think he's saying he was your PRAY, but I think he was coming over there to be your PREY. Did you ask God? See, you're supposed to be walking in ministry, so when God gave thee, watch out for them to be the overseer, to be the leader, to be the guider, the guidance, to be one, however you want to say it. When God gave them, were we looking for them in that manner? Now, I'm not going to just put it on them as leaders in the church, because we do have some people come and off the streets into the church with a plan of their own. Me and my sister was talking about someone we know that every time you turn around, she was saying, "God said, that's my husband." She married one time, and that husband, she thought that she was trying to say God said it was her, was the one I think God was telling her don't marry. Well, she did. So now she got that. See, some of them come in with a plan where they want to break down the man of God, embarrass the man or woman of God, because they come in with, they want to play a table tennis. You hit the little ball over here, I hit it back. You hit it over here, I hit it back. But at one point, they're going to try to spike it real hard because they figure they didn't got you. My mother used to say, don't let the devil make a fool like you, because he'll do it every time. They had a song that said, don't let the devil ride. Because if you let him ride, he'll want to drive. So don't let the devil ride. Find out what's your ministry. Ask God. Get into prayer. Ask God. If you're in a church and you're under leadership and the man or woman of God that's been appointed to watch over you, ask them to help you find out your ministry. Or just look, most of the time, the very thing you don't like is what God called you to minister to. Give you an example. When I was growing up as a teenager, excuse me, I gave this testimony a while back. I would take kids. We would go to the show. We would go to amusement park. And it started out with 5 or 6. But before the week or the month was up, I had anywhere from 25 to 50 kids. I was a young girl at the time. I'm talking about in my 20s. I didn't have no kids of my own. But people trusted me with their children. I'm talking about 5, 6-year-olds up to young teens. And those children wanted to be around me. Because, see, I was taking them out. Mind you, I was in my 20s now. I wasn't saved, and I wasn't living saved or looking to be saved because I was having fun. See, but in the midst of that having fun, I know how I was raised. I was raised to love the Lord and to fear him. So I wasn't taking these kids to see no bad movies or go to no amusement parks or get-together just to be hanging out, teaching them. I was taking them to youth conference. I remember when Pastor Hannah first started the youth conference. because we used to go down to Jones Commercial downtown, and he would have a youth conference. We went to Navy Pier. He had youth conference, and I would take these children over to see. Some had never been to church, or some had only been to Catholic church. I'm telling you, I would always have kids around me. I would rent yellow buses and take them to old Chicago. Yeah, y'all know I ain't ashamed of my age. You can see my hat. You can tell I'm up there. I would take them to old Chicago. I would take them to Great America because I loved children. No, I got a kid. I'm telling you, I couldn't have no children. I didn't want my own kids. I wanted a kid that I could say, oh, I enjoyed it so much. See you later. Go home. Tell your mommy you're back. Mm-hmm. As my uncle say, serving others in a way of life. Yes, I was taking the children out the neighborhood because a lot of the kids in the neighborhood had never been outside. Believe me. Some of those children had never been off the west side. See, I was born in Englewood, but I was raised up on the west side. So I had so much part of my life on the south side, raised up on the west side. A lot of my family was on both sides, so I was back and forth visiting. But I had children in my neighborhood that had never been out the neighborhood. So I was able to take them and let them see places like how to ride the bus downtown. My mom used to teach us, read as you ride, you'll never get lost. I was teaching them how to travel and not get lost. I was teaching them about the north, the south, the east, the west, how to learn directions. At the same time, not realizing until I got older, I was dropping in them the love of God. It's a young man, we used to call him Man-Man when he was young. He'd be on Facebook a lot. He's a friend of mine. His name is Floyd. I think that's his real name. I just remember we called him Man-Man. He stayed next door to us. And he used to love to go to church with us. And all of a sudden, Man-Man had started dressing up in suits, and he would sing all the time. And every time he would do something, he would always be dressed up, and he wanted to make sure I saw him. And I knew he loved to sing. And I would say, Man-Man, sing for us. And to this day, when I see him on Facebook, that young man is ministering. I hope my family and I played a part in introducing him to God, letting him know how the Lord loved him as a little boy. And he's a grown man now with children. He's out here ministering on Facebook, saying to people, I love the Lord. I hope you love the Lord. God is going to bless you. Praise. I mean, just the things that comes out of his mouth. He's on Facebook. He's talking about how he wants to be a father to his children. See, you never know what you're doing in a person's life because you never really know your ministry. Even when you're not trying to be saved, God has already put a minister in you. God has already put a ministry in you. You have to learn how to walk in that ministry. I remember she was a lady at the time, our late Apostle Sandy Thomas, wanted me to minister, be the minister for the children's church. Ooh, what? Me? I didn't like it. But I almost forgot that was what God put in me was the children. See, sometimes we get so full of ourselves and so into ourselves, we want to tell God the ministry he wants us to do. Yeah. Sometimes we miss God. That's my boy. My prayer now is, God, I don't want to miss you. See, we have to take things and know we need to stay on the altar before God and ask him about our ministry. Y'all not hearing me on tonight, but you need to ask God in this day and time about your ministry. The last thing I want you all to think about, well, before we go to the last thing, I want to read one more thing for you. I want to say one more thing to you about your ministry. The last thing we need to talk about is your mission. See, your mission is a great part of your ministry because when you know your mission, you understand your discipleship. When you understand your discipleship, you understand your fellowship. When you understand your fellowship, it's not hard for you to get into the place to be a worshiper, to have worshipship. You don't know how to do one without the other applying. Now, we're going to talk about this mission. This mission is part of your ministry. Mark 16:15. Let's go there. And he said to them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Mm-hmm. Now, I know sometimes we get to a place we don't even realize if we got a cat or a dog, a rabbit, a bird, a fish, we'll be like, "What the Lord? What you done done?" Mm-hmm. See, to every preacher. I looked at something that came on my Facebook page a couple of months ago where this young man was singing and praising God, so his dog was sitting in the room with him, and even the dog had enough sense to sing along with him. Because, and then the young man told the dog, he said, "Go ahead and praise him." The dog had got so full of the Spirit, because God said, "Let everything have breath, praise the Lord." Even the dog knew how to worship God. I was taught growing up, when the trees is blowing, the word tells us we don't know which way the wind comes. When the trees is blowing, we see them moving back and forth, front and back, side to side. We don't know which way the wind is blowing, but we do know that even the trees make noise. They're praising God. We see the birds singing. We hear the birds singing. We see the squirrels running across the ground. They have enough sense to do what God gave them sense to do. They collect, they harvest, and bury. Let me give you a good example. It's rained for a little while, and my grass got real high. Squirrel was running around, burying his food. Every day he would see us on the porch, he'd pay us no attention. This day, we cut the grass. That squirrel was running through the yard to find his harvest. He had the nerve to stop and look at us and make us. I had never heard squirrels make noise. Like, what y'all done did? In other words, that squirrel was giving us a piece of his mind. Then we went in the backyard. We cut down some branches off our neighbor's bush that was hanging over in our yard, and the bush kept the squirrel from being able to run up it and go up the tree to get. Squirrel came on that line and looked at us like he was saying, "Enough is enough." Because, see, his mission was to find his harvest. I'm not saying he didn't find it, but he did. Now, I had watched other squirrels, watched certain squirrels bury their harvest, then run behind them and dig it up. Then that squirrel would catch them, chase them around, beat them up, chase them up a tree, around a tree, all kind of stuff. Because, see, his mission was to get back his harvest. See, a lot of times we don't understand what we're doing. We don't understand what we're not doing because we're not walking in our mission. My mission, even as a young lady that was not saved and not trying to be saved, found out she must take care of children. I needed to teach them it's life outside of your neighborhood. It's life outside of your surroundings. When we were kids, our mom took us around different states and showed us different things. That's why we didn't mind, and we don't mind traveling. My sister, Apostle-elect Cecilia, she joined the military, and she was stationed in different states. And we went to visit and see her. And I got a chance to go around and see different states, and I don't mind traveling because those things that we were shown. So when you go to different places, you learn different things. But one thing I found out, no matter where I went, no matter what I saw, guess what I found out? And we all had a universal language, people that love the Lord. No matter where I went, I heard words I recognized. Hallelujah. He's a wonderful Savior. The rose of Sharon, the morning star, the Lamb of God. I heard things like that. I was able to recognize it because, see, we was on one mission. Spreading the word and the love of God, that God let me know that his word will be preached in every corner of the earth. His word will be preached in all the land. I don't care where you go or what you say. I don't care what language you speak or what country you go in. It's one word everybody understands. And that's hallelujah. 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 If you don't know no other word, learn the word hallelujah. That's the highest praise. Hallelujah. When I went to these different places, and I've seen different people, all walks of life, nationalities, all class of people, I learned one thing. They all love the Lord, and everybody knows about Jesus. I'm not saying everybody serves him. I wonder why the people that hate him so much, talking about he ain't real. Well, why do you hate things that ain't real? I don't see you out here beating up nobody, talking about there's a ghost in that house. You say ghosts ain't real, but I'll see you jumping on them, trying to hurt them. But let them bring up the name Jesus. Ooh, you will see something massive. Say worship is universal. It sure is. When somebody see you doing this and throwing them up and they see you crying out, praising God, it's universal. Universal. One thing I found out, too, is when I look at something like this in a house, and it may not have no writing on it, but just the way it looks, just the way 99.999% of the time, it was a Bible. I found out in Psalm 96:3, it says, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonder among all the people. So, with saying that, I really wanted to talk about the signs of the time. I got a few extra moments. I'm going to talk about that. But God had put on me that doing where we need to go. I was looking down. I wrote down some years. We're going to start with 1920. We're going to work our way down. In 1920, it was the roaring 20s, the time of jazz, dance, basically alcohol. Alcohol was really legal. That's what I can remember. But one thing it was, you had the world and you had the church. No matter what was going on in the world, the people back then respected the church. In the years of the 30s, there was a golden age of Hollywood movies. You had people going from state to state or places trying to find gold and trying to come rich and trying to be movie stars. But I found out big revival started in the land. In the 40s, it was a Cold War where people were fighting. They were losing loved ones, husbands, sons, fathers, because of the war. But they ran back to the church because they knew they could get help there. In the 50s, you had there was the golden years, capitalism. People were fighting for higher wages. People were wanting to make more money. Some were making money. They started separating themselves, the have, the have not. It was a lot of gambling going on. You had people that was trying to get rich quicker overnight. In the 60s, that was the time when cultural decade. That was a time when people were free to want to show their sexy. They want to be sex symbols. In the 60s was the time where you had a lot of orgies. People were using recreational drugs. They lived a certain lifestyle, or different lifestyles, where it was coming out. You had Woodstock. You had people that didn't mind telling you that this type of drug was a cheap drug and this type of drug was a high-class drug. That's what the times was in the 60s, but you still had grandma, granddaddy, mama, daddy. We still had church, and church was still the biggest thing going on. You had gangs that started up in the 50s, 60s that was the street gangs had it real bad. In the 70s, that one, when the economy started trying to elapse, it was the me, myself, and I attitude. That's when gasoline shortages came, and I remember sitting in the car with my mom where we would have a half a tank of gas, even in the summer, but in the winter she always said, never let the car get past a half a tank. Well, you would wait in line for hours. And sometimes, just as you got up to the pump, they said the pumps was off because they ran out of gas. I remember that in the 70s. I remember the food lines and the cheese lines and that was the best cheese in the world. Ooh, Jesus, that cheese. You got that government cheese. I remember that big roll of bologna, no matter how you fried it, didn't flip upside down and get the bubble in the middle. But when you ate it, you were full. I remember those things. I remember my mom, as a little girl in the 70s, the 60s and 70s, would make candy because we really couldn't afford to go to the store and buy candy because it was so many. And candy was, let me use this. Those that know me, remember the banana split. They was about that wide and that thick. Well, they was called banana splits. It was taffy. We would get those shoestrings, but we would get smart and say, you buy that, you buy that, you buy that, I buy this. And then we put our stuff together and say, we're having a party. I remember those things growing up. I remember wanting to play sports, and we had to be at home before the street lights came on. Better not get caught off the porch in the house, close with mom and daddy, could holler at the door or holler in the house, and you hear, but daddy know how to whistle real loud, and you didn't come running. Yeah. We were trained children. That's what I remember. We were trained to honor, respect, and obey our parents in the 70s and the 60s and so on back. I remember the 80s where it was, became a greedy decade. Chaos started going around because you had drug kingpins and you had drug addicts that started to come out. And I remember watching this movie where they taught you about how you would react to drugs, how drugs took over the body. Back at that time, it was called dog food because it was brown dope. I remember that, but guess what? Through that, I remember we went to church. I don't care how long or how late me and my sister stayed out. When it was time to go to church, me and mama, she wake us up. Let's go to church. I just got in. You just finna get in the Lord's house, too. You finna get in the Lord's face. We will be put on the altar. Yes, I remember those days. I remember the 90s. When it seemed like people started getting overwhelmed and they started saying, I can't handle this, I can't handle that. And I remember when my parents would call prayer lines. And, now, this is from the 90s back now, not just in the 90s, from the 90s back, when my family would call prayer. Or if they found out or somebody was praying for real, they showed up. I remember back in the 90s, that my mom got sick and they pronounced her dead. And I was in the hospital. I remember I began to cry, but I looked up and I saw Matilda, Eula, Ruthie, Linda, Sandra, Carol. I remember seeing these, Molly, Archie. I remember seeing these women come through the door in the hospital. Nobody said nothing. And one touched the big toe of my mother, and they began to pray. I know y'all don't believe me, but it don't matter. They began to pray. The doctor said, what they doing? Her body is cold. What they doing? They began to pray. They didn't say nothing. They were loud and calling down a fire from heaven, but they began to pray in one accord. And I remember my mother's body began to move. And they all said amen, and they turned around to walk out, and I said, hey, they said, we just came to do what God told us to do. They flew in, drove in, came in to do what God told us. Don't tell me when the word of God says, will these dry bones live? Don't tell me what God wants. That's why when you look on my Facebook page and I say, all my life, because at that time, if I had lost my mother, saved, and I wasn't trying to be saved, but at that time, if I had lost my mother, I would have, I don't know what I would have done, but I got to see a miracle. I got to understand then that God is this time, and this time, then and now, he's still performing miracles. I got to see that in 1990. That's when I started saying, God, I don't know how I got it. I don't know why I do the things I do. I don't know why I say what I say. But God, I don't know how I got here, but God, I need you. I need you. I start getting like Psalms 91. Lord, I'm in trouble. I need you to come with me. I'm telling you what I saw growing up, what I heard about before I was able to understand. And once I got old enough to understand, I'm telling you about the miracles in my life. In 1990, the internet came out. People started looking for prosperity. People started looking for more money, more money, more money. Things just started getting crazy. You know, it got crazier than back in the 60s when they started doing exploitation with the movies for black women. Now y'all hear me. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, tomorrow, forevermore. That's right, Minister Margo. When I look at the 90s and I see how big the drug deals had got, see, I ain't telling y'all something I heard about. I'm telling you something I know about. When I started looking at that, started talking about, oh, ain't that a shame? People, you know, people were so strung out on drugs, not just men, women too, having children, walking out for children, doing what they was doing. But guess what? Guess what? The family was still in prayer. The family was still on the altar in church. The family was still telling God, I believe in a miracle. Oh, God, we need a miracle. I believe that people were still trusting God for everything. I believe that some mothers and fathers say, God, if I don't live to see it, I trust you're going to bring them out. Yeah, I remember those things. I remember having a kid in 97. No, take that back, in 96. And they told me I would never have a child because of I had scarlet fever when I was young, and I was very sick. They told me I would never have children. And back then, I was like, I'm cool with that. But when God had them reveal to me that I was pregnant, said, God, give me a heart to want to be the mother of the child you give me. See, I had enough common sense. And I gave some things to God so that when I had that child, I had already saw how the internet was taking over and how people was getting so crazy. Even over the little game Atari back then, it was just a golf ball with boop, 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 boop. It wasn't even none of this stuff we have now, but that's it. I only got a few minutes. I'm trying to rush through this. And I remember in the year 2000, and they started looking at the kids from the 1990s, and they started looking at the kids that was born in 2000. People started saying this is a wipeout generation. This was Generation Z. This was a Zoomer. This was a millennial generation. You know, I started looking at that. And while people was talking about the type of people, children that was coming up, I started asking God, teach us how to pray, because these kids these days is dealing with stuff we never thought about. We never had to deal with. See, we had to deal with bullies in school and bullies on the block and bullies in the neighborhood. But see, these kids and these young people have to deal with media, internet. They have to deal with all kinds of stuff. When I was 13 years old, I was trying to get that fancy ponytail at the top of my head. I didn't want my hair because it was so curly. I wanted my hair to be straight. But I look at the kids now, lashes, stiletto nails, silk front. When I was 13, I couldn't even walk in some kitty heels. They that tall. But these young ladies walking in 6 and 8 inches, I couldn't even do that. You know, they already trying to talk about getting breast implants. But let's be y'all. This is not late night. This is late evening talk. We're going to be serious and we're going to be honest. See, a lot of us don't know how to talk to our children. But if we say, you can't do this, you can't do that, then what happens? But everybody's going to laugh at me. They're going to talk about me. The peer pressure is so rough. That's in a 2000. We was worried about what other people think and other people say, so we gave in the pressure of our children being accepted by many but hated by all. That's another thing. 2010, we really looked up and saw it wasn't just evil times. It was global financial crisis, massive movements and social media. I was just talking about that, how things just got so out of hand that people were saying stuff on Facebook like, go kill yourself, stupid stuff like that. And they showing fights and all type of stuff on Facebook, sexual predators and all type of stuff on Facebook. But we're not saying none. Some of us, I'm not going to say all of us, some of us did not. We reported it. We did not agree with it. But then you had some that looked at it and enjoyed it and had the nerve to share it. This is the time. Now in the 20s, from 2019 on down, 2020, we're in a pandemic. Life-destroying changes. People, we can't even go in a hospital and our people are on hospice or they on a last breathbed, deathbed, whatever you want to call it. We can't even go in and spend those final hours with them. I'm not telling what I heard. I'm telling what I saw because I work in the hospital. And the people had to leave this world alone. Their family members couldn't even go share that time with them. And I said to the government, they ought to be ashamed. Even if they was going by COVID or whatever, you can stay still in the room. You can let them spend the time with a glass between them. You let people visit in the jail. Why do you do that for the people? Why do you give people closure? Why do you let people see for themselves? Why didn't you let people have that last moment? Because people don't care. The hardening of the heart. Here it is, 21. We're a new decade. Now, we went from 1920 to 2020. We're in 2021, going to be in 2022. 2021 is a new decade. It's a new beginning. Now, when I sat down and looked at all that, I said, God, what is really I'm looking at nowadays? God says sometimes these kids seem like they think this is like a video game. They can go push the restart button and things start over. But that ain't it. Before a haughty spirit, destruction before. Here it goes. Look at all these stars, these actors that's been getting away. They thought they was getting away. But when God said, I see you, I know you, I'm going to get you, you better believe it. A haughty spirit before a fall. When you say that there is no God, you are God. You better know the times that you're living in. All these times that I talked about, 21, you better believe that with everything going on, the church was still standing strong. The church was still in place. And what's going to happen is what's been happening for the last 2 years. 20, 21, people been running to the church. But I'm saying to you all, don't be running over there. Get up in there and you try to pull the game. God is going to get you. This is not the day, the time, or the hour to be playing like you love the Lord. Because God is trying to get his people attention. And if you ain't got time to do what God told you to do, You better ask God to give you the heart to do his will. You better ask God to give you the love for the people to do his will. Now, in case y'all forgot, I open it up so I can read it to you because I don't want to mess up a word. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be opened, my ears amend unto the prayer that is made in this place. As of now, you put that prayer out there to say, God, give me the heart that you have called for me to have, because, Lord, I need you. I need you right now. I need you tomorrow and forevermore. Apostle Elect said, born again, reborn again is the best reset and restart. What an awesome and great gift from God. That's it. Go to God and say, God, I need a reset button because I need to restart. You know what? God know your email address. And God know your name on Facebook. I don't have care how you try to go on here under another name. Oh, God know who you is. I've been hearing a couple of pastors say lately, you going around here with these lashes on, these wigs on, these increases in your lips and everything else, and you go up there like you talking to somebody, what's up, Lord? Who is that? My name is, I don't know what name you are. I don't know you. You didn't change, so God can't even recognize you. Ask God how I get here. It's an old song to say, take me back, dear Lord, to a place where I first received you. Start asking God to take you back. You know, he said he's married to the backslider. He's in love with the first time also. So if you've never been saved, I suggest you get saved because God is doing a new thing in you. Because as Minister Margot put on there earlier, he's the same today, tomorrow, forevermore. But allow God to do a new thing in you, whether it's your first time being saved or you're coming back to the Lord. I thank you all for listening in on tonight. I praise God to say it, that you all have got something out of it. Because I have been talking to God about our time. People have so much hatred and evil in their heart. The news is saying, turn people in, they're going to give you this much money, just giving it. God said, if my people who are called by my name, look, if we understand the power of prayer, if we understand getting before God and just calling on the name of the Lord and follow instructions, we could take back our land because God has said he would heal the land. Uh-huh. That's what he said. So I thank you again for joining in. This is the end of our program. We went over a little more because I just had so much I wanted to say. Tune in Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. We are witnessing Minister Margo. We are witnessing the last days. Apostle Elect, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Minister Sheila Kaiser, and Minister Brandon Kaiser will be on Blog Talk at 9:30 a.m. That could be listened to at the area code 310-861-2354. Come on Monday. This will be the first Monday of this month coming up where Dr. Serena Wright, evangelist Dr. Serena Wright, who has written a book, The Last Prescription You'll Ever Need. Please tune in Monday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. And next Friday, if the Lord doesn't change the program because the prophet may have something that's planned, Prophet Antoine Thomas will be here next Friday at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please follow our postings. Please spread the word. Please share the service on tonight. Don't forget our foundational scripture is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I thank God for you all. I thank God for you all listening in. I thank God for you all talking back to me. I thank God for the love, the heart, the cares, the laughs, even the wiles. I thank God for choosing me. I thank God for it. So if anybody on Blog Talk have anything to say, could you please speak up now? Thank you, Blog Talk. Good night. Thank you for joining in. Good night, everyone.